Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. Our prayer is that this message will speak to your heart.
Open with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. It is said that these epistles, the letters of Paul, were not in the Bible arranged. They were not arranged chronologically. It doesn't mean that when you go to this letter, then the next is the one that was written the next. But when you read this chapter, you get a sense that this seemed to be Paul's last letter that he wrote. And we'll see as we'll be going through the scripture that how he is writing and what he's saying seems to be his farewell words. And he knows he's about to die. So if he was about to die, and indeed he died, then we know he didn't write another letter after. So take it that way. Imagine somebody is dying and he's addressing you. Amen. 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 Imagine you have an opportunity to have an audience with someone who is saying goodbye to you. And Paul chooses his words very carefully in this chapter to make sure that Timothy hears and gets what he is saying. Amen. So let's jump to verse number 21 and then we'll go back to verse number 1. So he says, do thy diligence to come before winter. Do thy diligence. In other words, it says, do your best to come before winter. Eubulus greets you. Pudius and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren, they greet you. So the key word there is try your best. Whatever you do, to come before winter. Amen. Amen. Winter, Paul, as he tells Timothy, is due. But you must make sure, you must try as you get this letter to come to me before then. Maybe as Malawians, we may not understand the impact or what winter may really mean to us. But winter is a season where, even during those days, because they used to sail on the ships to cross to the other side. So Paul knew that if Timothy would wait until winter, it's going to be too late for several reasons. Ships will not be able to sail smoothly on the shores because of the harsh weather. It's going to get dark. It's going to get difficult for ships to sail in winter. Amen. Amen. And because Paul knew it's going to be very hard, he told Timothy to do his best to come before it was late. In my understanding, as I read the scripture also, I got a notion that maybe Paul knew as well as we'll be reading, because he knew he was about to be beheaded or beheaded, to be killed. He knew that if Timothy delays, he may not find him alive. Amen. So like I've said, last week, Pastor pointed to us where Timothy was. If I will be a teacher, I will ask, where is Timothy now? Or where was Timothy at this time? He was in a church in Ephesus. So yeah, some of you were in church last week. God bless you. But this time, Paul is in prison in Rome. As he's writing this letter, Paul is in chains. He is in prison and he's choosing his words carefully and is writing from Rome to Timothy, his beloved young minister in Ephesus. Amen. Amen. So let's just rush through from verse number 1 as we'll be going there. Verse number 1 says, I charge you therefore, and this morning I pray that God will charge us and commission us to something that he wants, that is upon his heart. I charge you therefore before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I want you to pay attention to these words. That this God, at a particular time, as Paul is saying, he will judge those who will be alive at that time and those that are dead when Jesus comes. Amen. So whatever we do, we should know and remember who will all of us be judged. So he says, I charge you, remember, we are all going to appear before the Father. to account for whatever we do. Amen. Timothy, preach. I've added Timothy there. Preach the word, because this is a church. Be ready in season and out of season. In season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when men and women, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Tell your neighbor, be watchful in all things. Endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Each one of us has a ministry. Amen. And God is reminding us to fulfill our ministry. If we don't do anything about our ministry, no one is going to come and do anything about it. Each one of us has a special ministry. And Paul is reminding Timothy to do the work and fulfill that ministry. Amen? Amen. Turn to your neighbor again and say, fulfill your ministry. And so Paul is telling Timothy, please, whatever, whether it's favorable or unfavorable, whether people are going to receive it or not, but preach the message in season and out of season. Because coming is a time where people will choose what they want to hear. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we do that. We want to choose what to hear. We want to choose what the Lord should speak to us. I was sharing in Chicheo, I think 2 weeks ago, that when I was... when I just got born again in 2003, I didn't know how to read the Bible. So I would get the Bible and just open it just like that and read any scripture that comes to mind. So I would have a number in my head. I would say I'll read verse 17. So I demonstrated in Chichewa. So I would open it. And when there's a harsh verse there, I would say, no, it wasn't this one. So I would close the Bible and then open another one. But there's a time we choose what we want to read even in the Bible. When the messages are being preached, we're like, that's not my message. I think that should be for my wife, because it relates well with what she does. But the Bible says, preach the word. It's not the people. It's the Lord commissioning the word. And like what Pastor Daniel said yesterday, the word will fall on different grounds. Amen. And I pray that as the word is falling today, may your heart be a good soil.
Amen.
Verse number six says, Paul says, I am already being poured out as a drink offered. Amen. So Paul knows
that his life is due. Says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. So he knows. He's been in jail several times. He's gotten out several times. But this jail, he knows that there is a possibility, a high possibility, that I may not come out of this jail, and that my time of departing is very close. Amen.
Amen.
And hear what it says on verse number 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. Remember judging, that he will judge us on the day. The righteous judge will give to me on that day. And not only to me as Paul, but also all who have loved his appearing. So all of us who have loved Jesus, there's a crown waiting for us if we fight the good fight. So let's go back to verse number 7, where Paul is saying, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and have kept the faith. Not every fight is good. This is what the verse is saying. Not every fight is good. And Paul is reminding Timothy that the fight I fought was a good fight. And it laid me to finish my race. It led me to keep the faith. Amen. Amen. Everyone fights. All of us, we fight. But is everyone fighting the good fight? You might ask, what is the good fight? The equation is right there in verse number 7. The fight you're fighting, is it good? Is it a good fight? Is it making you to keep your faith as you fight? Is it helping you to finish the race? If the answers to all those questions is yes, then your fight is good. If you are failing to answer and you are struggling, then may the Lord work some things in your life. Amen.
Amen.
If you fight with your sister or your brother or your neighbor, ask yourself, is it a good fight? Is this fight helping me to finish the race? Is it helping me to keep the faith? Amen.
Amen.
Is your fight helping you to give glory to God? Is it helping you and pushing you in the right path in Christ so that you can say, I am finishing the race? A good fight is the one that will help you finish the race and will help you keep the faith. They are all battles. They are all fightings. But are you keeping the faith in your fight? So next time before you fight your neighbor, you fight your spouse, ask yourself, is this fight going to keep the faith? Is this fight going to help me to forge on in the race? The answer to that question will tell you what to do. Amen. Before you fight, pause. This fight, is it worthy making me finish the race or keeping the faith? Because Paul says, I have fought the good fight and I have kept the faith. Many fights are making us lose our faith. Many fights are making us lose our Christianity. Many fights are making people question what we believe in. And I say, if this is the Jesus you preach, then no. A hot-tempered Jesus, I don't like that one. I need a Jesus that will help me keep the faith. Amen.
Amen.
So today I came to allow you to make any fight only on these two conditions. If they will help you to keep the faith, but also finish the race. Any other thing, don't do it.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Verse number 9. Now Paul is telling Timothy, say, be diligent to come to me quickly. If you keep that one, we're going to come back to it. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Christians for Gratia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. When coming, get Mark and bring him with you. For he is useful to me in ministry. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know if you're reading the same Bible I'm reading, but somehow as I read this, I had to question myself so many things. Amen.
Amen.
So he says, Demas forsook me. Wait a minute, Paul. You mean you who has traveled far and wide preaching the gospel with all these brothers with you. Now you're complaining that you're standing, but everybody has run away from you. Paul, if there were Jesus, because there was a cross, it would make sense. But even Paul says, Timothy, know that the brothers who you knew were standing with me are no longer standing with me. It is only brother Luke that is standing with me. But Demas Crescens, Titus, Damasia, everybody has found their way out of my life, and I'm standing alone. What Paul is trying to communicate here is that I wish I had company at this time of my persecution, but everybody has run away from me. So please bring Mark, because Mark, the reason there he says Mark is useful. Ask yourself that question. Are you useful? Don't answer me. Just answer yourself. Are you useful in ministry? Because that's what that verse says. Yeah? Can you go to that verse? It says, bring Mark because he is useful. In the church at Ephesus, there were so many brothers and sisters that Paul could have said, bring that one, bring that one. But he particularly mentioned Mark because of his usefulness in ministry. Amen. Can this be said of me? Can this be said of you? Can you be trusted and be useful for ministry? Amen. Amen. Says, everybody has forsaken me. When I needed them, no one is standing with me. Remember, Paul has told us that he knows that his life is being poured out. And the time of his departure is at hand. Don't forget those words. So he's searching for brothers and people to stand with him, but Demas has chosen to fall for the pressures of the present world. Sometimes the people that we feel are with us, they are not with us. Until something happens to us, it's when we know who was Demas in my life. There are so many Demases in our lives that are still hiding there, waiting for the time when something happens to you. When you'll be in prison, not literally, I pray you don't be in prison literally. But when you be in trouble, Demas will run away because he was never with you. He is only with you because of something that is enjoying in your life. Amen. And it came at a time where Paul faced this reality. Wherever he went to preach, these brothers walked with him. But only Mark was useful to him in ministry. Amen. Amen. Now, if they can put for you Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 verse 20. It talks about vessels, us being vessels, vessels of honor and some of dishonor. The question I'll pose to you is that which one are you? Amen. Because our usefulness comes from there. We are all vessels. What differentiates us is whether we are useful or useless. Amen. Whether we are unto honor or dishonor. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of God. Some are vessels of silver. Some are vessels of wood. Pastor preaching the other day, he says, you can be a potato. You can be an egg. Or coffee. Yeah, so you've been coming to church. So whichever you are, you know. But Mark became useful to Paul in ministry. I pray that the Lord will help us, that we are useful in the lives of one another. Amen. Even for ministry. We shouldn't just be adding numbers. We may need to check our friend list again. Searching for Demas. That would be the mission. Mission searching for Demas. Useful for ministry. So are you clay? Are you silver? Or your God? May God help us. Now, the challenge comes that, remember Paul talks about fights, that I fought a good fight. Now, the danger is that maybe I'm busy fighting, not a good fight, and then I'm also clay. May the Lord help us. Those that have heard, they have heard what I've said there. And then you are not trusted. Number three. May the Lord help us. Let's jump to verse number 12. And he continues to say, and Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus, probably where Timothy is as well. And verse 13 says, when coming, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. When you come, and also bring the books, bring as you come especially the parchments. Parchments, I was doing a little searching, sheep skin that was designed specifically for writing. In a modern day, I would say, bring my diary or bring my notebook, somewhere I can write. But Paul mentions those things, says, as you're coming, bring me a coat. Bring me a jacket, for I am lonely. Remember, he's forsaken. Demas and all the brothers have run away from him, so he is alone. And he says, bring me a coat. Bring me books. What does Paul want to do with books? He's in prison. He's in chains. He wants to make sure he continues to encourage himself and read. Amen. Amen. Now, Paul, as anointed as he was, this verse is telling me that he used to be a reader. He would read several books. He would get acquainted with several literature. Amen. Amen. He's teaching us that we cannot be leaders if we don't read. Your anointing requires wisdom. Amen. Amen. It requires knowledge. So you cannot claim I'm anointed, I'm a man of God, if you don't read. Are you with me? So he says, bring me my books so that I can continue to read and somewhere to write what I have understood, because it's going to keep me going. Amen.
Amen.
Are we reading? We want to lead, but we are not reading anything. We don't read the Bible. No wonder Paul was complaining that others were not useful to him. Only Mark. So he says, bring my books and somewhere I can write. Although my life is being poured on the ground as a sacrifice, but I need to read. I need to keep myself busy. Remember, he's in prison. If you've ever visited someone in prison, you know, you can relate with what Paul is saying. You want to keep yourself busy? You want to keep yourself away from the trauma that is happening. Maybe the cell is so crowded. You want to make yourself at least, you know, have something that can keep you going. And what we're talking about, who we're talking about here is Apostle Paul, the anointed one. The one who wrote the majority of books in the New Testament. Still reading. May the Lord help us. I'll come back to the clock because it will fit in where we are going. Verse number 14 says, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. It wasn't only Demas who left, but there were others. And Paul is singling out Alexander the coppersmith. There's a sermon there. Alexander the coppersmith who did Paul great harm. And Paul says, may the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Whatever they were preaching. Now he's telling me that Alexander, who was a coppersmith, used to be in Paul's team. And they were preaching the gospel. But now, whatever great harm that he did to Paul, Alexander is now opposing the same gospel they preached together. And Paul is warning Timothy to say, pay attention, watch out, because he's busy refuting the same gospel we preached. There are people that will do us great harm. And there's a scripture as we read down there. Paul says, no, I don't want this to be accounted to them. But this one, for Paul to say, may the Lord, in other versions, says, may the Lord deal with him. It means Paul was greatly afflicted by Alexander the coppersmith. And whatever happened, we don't have an idea. But there's something that really afflicted Paul's heart, that Paul actually takes time to mention it. And I want to be our center of our preaching today. At my first defense, verse 16, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. And he says, for all those who forsook me, may it not be charged against them. But for Alexander the coppersmith, may the Lord deal with him. I don't have any weight for what Alexander did to me, but may the Lord deal with him. But for anyone who forsook me, even at my first defense, when I stood in trial and nobody came to my rescue, nobody said, we know Paul. No, may the Lord forgive them. Are you hearing what is happening here?
Yes.
May the Lord not take it to their accounts. It's okay. They were only being human. But for Alexander the coppersmith, I leave it to the Lord. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Lord is saying. This is very, very dangerous here, what Paul is saying. Now, remember, brothers Demas and others, Titus, not Barnabas, but the one in the Bible, forsook Paul and ran away from him. And Paul repeats the same thing in verse number 16, saying, even when I went to trial, no one was found standing with me. It is strange because I preached the gospel. Like I stood in the synagogues. Like I challenged the laws of Rome to preach what the Lord had put upon my heart. What I expected, the least I expected from the brothers is to stand with me. To say, at least we know Paul. But no one stood with me. They ran away from me. And I'm still in chains. And the time of my departure is at hand. Amen. But the Lord will not count that to them. They were just being humans. And he tells Timothy, remember to bring me my jacket. Bring me my coat. Because I'm feeling lonely. If you read these scriptures carefully, you understand and feel how lonely Paul is. He feels deserted. He feels betrayed. And he has no one to talk to. That's why he's calling out for Timothy, who is in Ephesus. And it will take him time to reach where Paul is. And that's why in verse 21, he is charging Timothy to let him come before it is too late. Because everyone is running away from him. He is alone. When he goes for trial, no one is standing with Paul. And Paul says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. Please, Timothy, hurry up and make sure you come before it's too late. Amen.
Amen.
But bring my jacket, for I am lonely. Imagine and see him in a cell, in a prison cell. Right there. So many people are there. But Paul feels lonely. We can't be like this in a church like this. Full of people. But I feel lonely. There's no one to talk to me. Especially here in church. The Lord help us. Where we know each other better. We have formed our cliques. You know what cliques are, eh? We have our own favorite groups where we gather and no one talks to me. I am feeling lonely. May the Lord speak to us and help us. I am alone. Don't be fooled, Timothy. I am in a prison, yes. All of these people are like strangers to me. So please bring Mark because it's going to be useful to me. Come before it's too late. I'm feeling lonely. I go to church, but I feel so lonely. No one minds about me. No one visits me. No one wants to know me. Bring me a coat because I am feeling cold. God help us. Sometimes there are members who get sick in the church, but they are lonely because no one knows them. May the Lord help us. Some things happen to us in the church, so no one pays attention because they are lonely. And even talking this is making me feel so emotional right now. And Jesus is reminding us to pay attention to each other before it's too late. The Lord help us. We only visit the ones we know. We only know and speak to the I ams of the church. And pays no attention to knowing someone. That we may know what they are going through. That we may know even where they stay. Even what their name is. They are feeling lonely. And Paul says, they are not useful to me. Bring me Mark, because he's useful to me. He will encourage me in my desperate state. You have got a lot of voice bundle in your phone, but you can't call someone to encourage them. They are feeling lonely. May the Lord help us. And Paul reaches to this stage. He says, I have preached. I have so journeyed all over, but no one stood with me at my first try. When reality kicked in, the church I thought was my church was nowhere to be found. Do you know that pastors also feel lonely? Do you know that? Amen. Men of God also feel lonely. And I thank God for what Pastor Daniel was teaching yesterday at the leadership. He was saying it is okay to cry. Because sometimes as leaders, you want to be strong for the change. And he says, no, sometimes just close yourself in the room and cry there. Because when you're lonely, it's good to let it out and speak to the Lord who will encourage you.
Amen.
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 So bring the court, because I am caught and there's no one to stand with me. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, may the Lord help us.
May the Lord help us.
By the way, that's a taste. Do you know your neighbor? Now you're sitting with your husband, so it's easy. Do you know their name? Do you know where they stay? If you know them, they are your cliques. They are the ones you hang out with. They are the ones you mind about. They are the ones you know. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord help us.
Amen.
Remember on verse number 1, it says, I charge you. This is the charge the Lord is telling us. We cannot be talking about more than enough, yet we don't know one another. We don't relate with one another. We don't take care of each other. We don't pray for one another. We only pray when they say, brothers, there's someone who is missing. Let's pray. It is good to pray when there's a call for prayer, but it is also very good to pray for each other, even when there's nothing happening.
Amen.
Because you don't know what people are going through.
Amen.
They are feeling lonely.
Amen.
They are in the church. They are feeling lonely. They come every day, every Sunday, hoping for someone to talk to them. But you are busy. You and I are busy with our cliques. And Paul says, I am lonely. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
And Paul tells Timothy, no one stood with me. I preached, I walked, I visited, I did everything, but no one stood with me at my first trial. But something encourages me in verse number 17. It says, although everyone did not stand with me, run away from me, never called, never visited, never said hi, never paid attention to my sickness. Thank God I got healed. Never even encouraged me. But the Lord stood with me. Amen.
Amen.
I said earlier on when I was starting that maybe we may need to check our friend list again. Who is standing with you? Do you have someone like Mark, whom you can say is useful to you? He says, but the Lord stood with me and he strengthened me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that the message might be preached fully through me and to all the Gentiles that they might hear. I also was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, don't get mistaken. Paul was not thrown in a dungeon or thrown in the lion's den. This is a figure of speech. At his first trial, he won that first trial. And when he had appealed, he was waiting for the proceedings going ahead. So don't say that Paul was, because he was delivered out of the mouth of a lion, then he was in the lion's den. No. He just talks about the troubles that he encountered during the first trial. Although everyone else ran away from him, the Lord stood with him and he delivered him and he gave him victory. Amen. Here is where you say, I may be alone. No one may stand with me. But Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because the Lord stands with me. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus, and he is sick there. Verse 21, do your diligence, do your utmost to come to me before winter. Whatever you want to do, do it quickly before it's too late. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. You have heard I am alone. You have heard no one is standing with me. As you're bringing Mark, do it quickly. Remember on verse number 9, he taught Timothy to diligently come to him as fast as he could. So whatever things we desire to do, let's not wait until it's too late. For I am being poured out like a drink offering, and my departure is near. So much unforgiveness amidst us. Whatever you do, do it quickly. For you never know the time of our departure. Winter is coming. You will say, I'll forgive tomorrow. But Paul is telling Timothy, come quickly. Come before winter. Don't take too long. Tomorrow is no promise to anyone. Let go of that unforgiveness. Come before winter and bring that cord so I may feel warm. Brothers and sisters, I wanted to remind you that all of us don't have time in our hands. We are all running out of time. Amen. Each day we wake up, we are reducing the number of days we're going to live on this earth. Let's forgive now, not tomorrow. Let's mend our relationships now, not tomorrow. Amen. Reconcile with your father now, not tomorrow. Reconcile with that brother now, not tomorrow. Reconcile with that sister now, not tomorrow. Timothy is taught to come before it's too late. You may plan, I'm going to do this next month or next week. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to call them next week. I'm going to call them in the next hour. No one knows what is going to happen in the next hour. Do it now. Come before it is late. Now, not to scare anyone, but whenever we have a funeral, there are so many good things that are spoken during that time. People speak so many good things about the departed. They say they were so lovely to us. We cannot live without them. Well, they are gone. Now you're going to live without them. And they saw so many things, so many good things about this person gone. When they had an opportunity to say it when they were alive. When they were in their sick bed, they wish somebody would call them and say, brother, I wish you well. We are praying for you. Not lip service, but actually praying for them. They wish somebody would visit them. Now when they are dead and when they are getting buried and left there, we come with our rose flowers and we plant them on the tomb and we express our emotions and cry. A little bit of elephant tears there, crocodile tears there, a little bit of genuine tears there, but most of the time it is too late. The rose flower you are planting there, you could have bought it and gave it to them. They would have known you love them. Come before winter. Come before it is too late. Nobody should tell you to do things that you'd have done when you still have the time. Give them those flowers today, not tomorrow. Show them your love today. Call them today. There are people who have regretted because they never had an opportunity to reconcile with someone. And that someone was not sick. They were okay, but the Lord decided to take them maybe through accident. And they feel pain when they had an opportunity to humble themselves and say, sister, let's work out things before it's too late. Here is a charge to us, KICC. Let's work out things before it's too late. Because they are feeling lonely. They have no one to talk to. The same way you don't want to talk to them, they also want to talk to you. Settle it now, not tomorrow, because you don't know. And Paul says, my life is being poured out. Amen. Let's get involved in each other's life whilst we are still alive. Let's get involved in each one's life whilst we are still alive. Let's show care to one another whilst we are still alive. Let's not wait when it's late. The church's funeral or funeral service, the church service is nice. Whatever we do is nice. Let's attend to each other now, not when they are gone and are gone to the Lord. There are so many opportunities we are wasting because of unnecessary things that are not in line with the Lord. Remember, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. Amen. Amen. So many fights that we are fighting that are not so good, that are not giving glory to God. Let's leave that and begin to align to the Lord and relate with one another to the way that shows love. Take care of them. Call them. Show them love. Amen. We have struggling brothers and sisters and ministers. Let's show them love now. Not when they are dead. Not when they are gone. Amen. It's so fascinating when you get sick and then people come to see you. They buy juice to see you. They buy sobo. And you don't have appetite for that. You are in pain. All you need is somebody telling you that the Lord loves you. The things you are buying when I am sick, buy them to me now. Let me drink the juice when I'm still alive. When I still have the power. Because most of the time the things you bring to the patient, it's the guardian who enjoys them. So Paul says, come before I am bedridden. Come before winter. You know the hypocrisy we do sometimes, the display we do. We pretend to show that we love and care for each other. Especially when we are sick and things are not going so well. So we'll come and say, brother, we've come to see you. We brought all this. We brought bologna and all this bacon. But this guy cannot even eat. Buy them the bacon now. Amen. Tell your neighbor, buy me the bacon now. Before it's too late. Show each other love now. And care for one another. Not the time they are bedridden. Am I saying don't bring sobo when I'm sick? No. Bring the sobo, the grace will be sufficient. But let's show each other love now. Genuine love begins now. Paul is telling Timothy, do your best to come before it's too late. Amen. Amen. Now, sometimes we that are parents are so particular what kind of things our children should eat in the house. Maybe because we spent too much buying that expensive yogurt and we don't want them to eat them that time. We want them to carry the yogurt to school. It makes sense, right? Sounds cool, eh? Give them the yogurt now. Let them enjoy. Because when they are sick, it will be you complaining. He's not eating. She's not eating. No. You could have done it when they were okay. Amen. And parents, my fellow parents, may the Lord help us. Let's attend to each other now before it's too late. We have our struggling parents back home. Our relatives that things are not moving. But we are busy in town gallivanting our care and showcasing, caring for people we don't know. Yet your relatives have no one to look up to. Show them care now before it's too late. Remember them now. Empower them now. If you are not empowering them now, you are feeding a parasite that will grow to be a trouble to your children later. Take care of them now before it's too late. You know, sometimes we are so good to strangers. And sometimes our wives will wonder, hey, my husband is also this nice. He cannot be nice to me. Be nice to your wife now. I should also be wise to my wife now before it's too late. And wives also be nice to us now before it's too late. Paul says, come before winter. The things we do when times are hard and times are tight, they should teach us that these are the things we're supposed to be doing when we had the energy. And Paul has taught Timothy to say, preach the gospel, whether it's unfavorable or favorable now, in season and out of season, whether people like it, preach it. Don't wait until it's too late for you to share Jesus to them. Amen. Whether they hear, they welcome the message or not, Paul is telling Timothy, do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We've got work to do, brothers and sisters. Let's jump onto a good fight. What is a good fight? The one that makes you finish the race, number one. Number two, the one that helps you to keep the faith. So let's preach the gospel. Let's not wait for Pastor Madaf to tell us now. Let's go and preach. We are being poured out like a drink offering. We don't know whether we're going to live tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So love them now. The charge I'm giving us, love them now. Call them every day. Check on them. You can help someone, maybe at City Mall, at Getaway Mall, anywhere, somebody begging for alms. You are able to help them, but you cannot remember your mom, your dad back home. You don't even remember when last they ate a nice meal. Remember them now. Show them love now.
Amen.
Call them every day.
Amen.
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 You can be on a phone with your BFF for 1 hour, but with your mom and dad, if they are still alive, maybe a minute. I just wanted to say how to check how we are doing. Call them now.
Amen.
We are running out of time, brothers and sisters. If God is taking us into a season of more than enough, He's doing the more than enough so that others may benefit. That's what the verse says there. So that others may enjoy the love coming out of our hearts. But each one of us are being poured out like a drink offering. Remember the lonely in your life. Remember the lonely here in the church. May God help us. Amen.
Amen.
So I've already said, tomorrow is not guaranteed unto anyone. No one knows tomorrow. There's no need to hold a grudge anymore. Let it go. May the Lord help you and help me and heal our hearts that we may mend our ways. Because Paul says winter is coming and it's going to get dark. It's going to get difficult. It's going to be a time you say, I wish I had time. I wish I saw them and visited them yesterday. I wish I encouraged them yesterday when it is late. Come. For everyone has left me, and I'm standing alone. Yet I know I'm not going to make it out of this jail. I've been in several jails, but this one feels like the Lord says, this is a final one. So come and bring Mark, who is useful to me in ministry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hebrews 3, verse 7. Because we don't have much time, I want us to pray a little bit and then do the Holy Communion. The Bible is telling us that when we hear a charge like this, we should not harden our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, and I believe you are hearing His voice, I believe the Lord is speaking to you and has spoken to you. Verse 8 says, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. What it means is that as you harden your heart, you are rebelling against God. If you go back and continue to fight, not a good fight, you are rebelling against God. If you go back and postpone forgiveness, you are rebelling against God. If you go back and do the very same things the Lord has told you to stop doing, you are rebelling against the Lord. Do not harden your heart. Amen. pardon them. They did you harm. They left you like all the others. And hear what Paul said. I pray that you'll not be put to their account. Although they left me, although they inflicted me emotional pain, but God, don't put it on their account. They were only being human. I feel like that's somebody's prayer. Where somebody say, Father, do not bring a charge against them. It's like Jesus on the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. But as for Alexander the Great, the coppersmith, may the Lord deal with him. So leave Alexander to God, but anyone else, pray to God that you will not hold a grudge against them. That's what the Bible is saying. It says, for everyone else did not stand with me, may the Lord not put it to their account. Do not treat everyone else as if they are Alexander the coppersmith. People around you, they are loving, they are not demons. So pardon them. Are you hearing the word that I'm saying? Pardon them, let them go. For we are all being poured out as a drink. When we stand before the Father, I pray that we'll be all blameless. And that there will not be found anything to hold to our account when we had the power. The Bible says, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. That should be in your Bible. That should be in your phone Bible, or Bible that is in your phone, that verse. As far as it depends on me, I should live in peace with everyone. For Alexander the coppersmith, I've already prayed that the Lord will do what he does. It is not my business, but I will do my best to live in peace with all my brothers and all my sisters. Why? Because winter is coming. They might be lonely, waiting and hoping for someone to talk to. Forgive and receive God's healing in your heart.
May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.